This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Mark Klass, founder of the Klass Kids Foundation, an organization he began in 1994, just a year after the abduction and murder of his daughter Polly in 1993. We want to get Mr. Klass's reaction to Monday's Supreme Court decision, which says that sexually dangerous inmates can in fact be incarcerated longer than they've been sentenced to. And Mr. Klass, thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
How important is this decision? I know you've worked with a bunch of different cases now ever since the tragedy that occurred with your daughter. And I know that a lot of times abductions and murders of children, as well as involving adults, have a sexual assault component to them as well. So how significant is this decision?
This decision does several things. Number one, it affirms laws, civil commitment laws that have already been written and enacted in 19 other states. Secondly, it creates a precedent for those states that haven't written such laws. And thirdly, it acts as model legislation, since it's been upheld in the Supreme Court. It acts as model legislation for those states that have not yet written civil commitment laws.
What's fundamentally different about these types of inmates compared to others who would be released naturally at the end of their sentence?
We're talking about a very narrow subset of individuals that are incarcerated in the United States, individuals that have tendencies that have not been able to be controlled, people like psychopaths and or pedophiles, people who we know, once they are placed back on the streets, will continue to commit these kinds of grievous crimes. So really, it's a public safety issue. It's a matter of finding ways to maintain these people and limit the number of victims.
Do you get the sense that, for the most part, rehabilitation efforts fail with folks of this caliber of a predatory nature?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's never, in fact, I would ask anyone to cite me one instance where either a pedophile or a psychopath has been cured or even controlled in the long term. Now, if you want to put those people into society and find ways to control them using monitoring, et cetera, I think they should live next door to you and not next door to me.
What about an idea like chemical castration? We've heard that before, that that would reduce whatever impulse they have to act out. Would that be a suitable alternative, or is keeping them locked up by far the best way to go here?
Chemical castration has two problems. Number one, the main sex organ is between your ears. And number two, it is only effective if it's done on a voluntary basis. You can't force someone to take a chemical that will tamp down their sex drive. If they decide that they want to become active again, all they have to do is stop taking that medication.
What have you noticed over nearly 20 years now in terms of protecting kids? Are there other laws that need to be in place here in terms of those who would prey on children? Should this be extended to others who may kidnap, other crimes that may not necessarily focus specifically on the sexual nature?
Sure. Well, I can tell you that in California, we have a civil commitment law, and it's not all that effective. Just last week, in fact, I was at the sentencing hearing of an individual named John Gardner, who had gone under four psychiatric evaluations for civil commitment, yet he was still allowed back onto the streets where he kidnapped and murdered a young girl named Chelsea King and a young girl named Amber Dubois. So I think it's really clear that we're never going to be able to totally legislate safety. And I think we have to be judicious in the kinds of laws that we pinpoint to protect society from these predators. And I think that this is a very good example of a law that just might do that in some instances, but certainly is not going to protect everybody because it's not going to catch everybody.
What about where they should be housed? Is it just going to be at the same facility where they served out their sentence? Is there a different type of facility? How would that play out as far as you could tell?
Sure. In most of the states, as in California, they'll send them to a mental health facility that is surrounded by concertina wire and has guard towers. Because in California and in most other states, they're sent to these facilities so that they can continue to get treatment so that at some point in their lives they will not be considered a dangerous individual anymore. So it's in some respects, It's a different kind of a facility because they do receive psychiatric treatment, but in other respects, it is a prison as well because they are maintained under very tight control.
We're talking with Mark Klass, founder of the Klass Kids Foundation, and we've been talking about the Supreme Court decision that came down on Monday by a 7-2 verdict. In our last minute or so here, Mark, I want to get your thoughts on a point you made just a moment ago, and that's that the impulse for most sexual predators and those who prey on the vulnerable comes from the organ between your ears. Talk about that a little bit more. Do you get the sense that this problem is growing over the past 17 years? And if so, what are the main reasons why?
I'm not sure that it's growing, and I don't know how qualified I am to answer a question like that, but I think that I think that one can certainly point to the proliferation of pornography on the internet, and the very graphic nature of some of that pornography, and the ability of people to find like-minded communities and encourage each other to do acts that I think otherwise might not be considered, well, to engage in criminal activity. Because of that, yes, I think that there is a growing population of these individuals.
Last question. The law in question before the Supreme Court, before this decision came down on Monday, was the Adam Walsh Act, named after John Walsh's son, of course, who was tragically killed back in 1981. Do you feel that there are other pieces of legislation that are desperately needed in order to protect our kids?
I think we need to fully enact the Adam Walsh Act, number one. I think that before we start looking at a lot of different kinds of legislation, we ought to fully implement the laws that have already been passed, both on the state level and on the federal level. On the federal level, the Adam Walsh Act would encourage states to work much more closely together to track and monitor these individuals and to line up their laws so that they're applicable in each other's states. It has a public component that provides the public with a one-stop shop to find out who these guys are and where they are. And I think that we need to focus on those kinds of things before we start writing new legislation.
Mark, a very important subject. Thank you very much for your time and your insight today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Mark Klass, founder of the Klass Kids Foundation, father of Polly Klass, who was tragically abducted and killed in 1993. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.